11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today as we come to you in prayer. Lord, we're reminded of the great need we have of you. And Father, we need your power. We need your wisdom. We ask you for it. And Lord, we certainly need the clarity of mind and thought and speech tonight. And Father, we certainly need an attentive spirit for all of us to just hear and, Lord, to be willing to follow your word and do accordingly as your word is said. We thank you for those that are here tonight. Bless in a real special, special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight on simply which I've entitled Obedience of Faith. We're going to talk about faith tonight, and I trust that it'll be a help. And we're going to talk about the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. You know, I've thought about it a lot of times, and I think it'd be a wonderful thing if everybody obeyed God. But it doesn't happen that way, and even we Christians many times have some problems in following God and obeying God exactly as He wants us to do. And when our wills get involved, when we do what we want to be done, I'm afraid that brings envy and malice and war, according to the book of James. But when God's will is done, it brings the love and joy and rest in the Lord. When we can follow Him, do according to His word, it's a whole different life. It's what God wants for us. It's the best life. It's exactly what He wants us to do. Don't know about you, but there's been some times in my life when I've shed tears over the fact that I wasn't obedient like I should have been. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you are obedient. But there's been times when it's just broken my heart that I've not always been for God what I should be. And there's been times in my life when I've not been obedient to the Lord as He has wanted me to be. And I say to you, that should break our hearts. That should do something for us. And so I say to you, it's important that we follow God. It's important that we do exactly what He says we ought to do. Now, the very first steps of obedience, most of you folk here know tonight, is, of course, found when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We begin by believing the teachings of the Word of God and believing that Jesus is who He said He was and that He's done the finished work, accomplished it on the cross of Calvary, and we realize we're an old lost sinner. We need to be saved. That's the very first, I believe, step of obedience that we have with the Lord. And then we, of course, begin to trust His work that He's done for us and begin to rest in His salvation that He has. I'm sure you feel the same way, but it's a wonderful thing to be resting in the salvation that Jesus has given us. It's a wonderful thing to have that sweet, precious rest constantly basis, just knowing that Jesus loves us and we put our faith and trust in Him and He's ours. So tonight, as I said, we want to talk a little bit about obedience of faith. That's not like the obedience that a slave has for his master. I'm talking about the slave that has to do what his master says. But the obedience of faith is that obedience of where we do it because inside us we know that Jesus Christ, the wonderful Savior, the wonderful God, wants us to do it. And we have a desire to follow Him. It comes from a principle within, not some kind of compulsion without that makes us do it. It comes because we want to follow the Lord Jesus. And you know, when you think about it, just common reason, if you think about it, should make us want to follow and obey our Redeemer. Let's face it, he bought our salvation for us. He paid the debt. And just there should be a desire and to follow Him and to obey Him. And I think, as Paul said, the love of Christ is the one that constrains us. It constrains us to do right, to do what He says. When the love of Christ is in our heart, it constrains us to do what God wants us to do. That's what it ought to do. Amen? To always do right. As a child of God, I believe we ought to obey our Heavenly Father. I believe we ought to obey our wonderful Savior, you see, because we're God's child. So anyway, we're going to discuss the fact of obedience of faith. Now, first of all, we're going to look at the kind of faith which produces obedience. The kind of faith that produces obedience. That first thing we want to show you is that God has the right to command obedience from us. He has that right. The kind of faith that will produce obedience is the kind of faith that says, God, you have the absolute right to command anything you want to of us. And you have the right to command obedience. You see, the whole thing is, he's, and you realize this, but he's bought us with a price. We're not ours anymore. We belong to him. And he has a right to tell us anything he wants to tell us. We have to realize that he is sovereign, that he is above all others, that he is superior to all, that he is supreme in authority, rank, and power, and that God has the right to ask of us anything he wants to ask of us. You see, that's the kind of faith that will produce obedience. When we realize that God has that right, think about it for a moment, just for a moment as you're sitting there. Does God have a right to tell you what to do? Does he have a right to do that? I mean, in your life, does he have a right to command you and you are then to obey? Well, certainly he does. He has that right. That's the kind of faith that'll produce obedience. When you and I realize that God has the right to do that. Not only that, the kind of faith that'll produce obedience is the kind of faith that says that everything God does or asks absolutely is right. I mean, it is right. He never makes a mistake. And that's sometimes hard, isn't it? But you see, we have to have that kind of faith. We have to believe that anything that God says is absolutely true. And that anything that God asks us to do is absolutely right for us to do. You've got to have that kind of faith. And God never makes a mistake. How many times have I said that? How many times have you said that? Does God ever make a mistake? No, we've said that to people who's been in sorrow. We've said that to people who's lost loved ones. We say, God, just don't make any mistakes. I know it's hard, but God doesn't make any mistakes. He knows what happens. You know, for us as Christians, we've got to realize that also, that everything that God says is right to do, even when it's hard, when it's difficult. You see, not only that, we also need to realize God's ability, and not only just ability, but his right to ask you or I to do anything he wants us to do. Not just as a whole, but as you and I. I'm talking about if God calls you to do something, he has a right to do it. If God calls you to be a preacher, does he have a right to do it? Does God call you to be a missionary? Do you have a right to do it? If he calls you to be a Sunday school teacher, does he have a right to do it? And obedience, if we realize that God has that right to do that, my friend, it'll bring us to obedience. It's the kind of faith that'll cause us to obey God. You see, you've got to understand something. God has that right to reach down and pull out anybody he wants to and say, I want you to go and preach. Or I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. I want you to be a deacon. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. He has every right to do that. Do you believe that? How about personally? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has that right? Are you willing then? Are you willing to do what God said to do? Are you willing to obey by faith what God said to do? You know, that would solve most of our problems in our churches. It certainly would solve the lack of workers if we would just obey God. Amen? Just obey God. Say, well, God, if you have a right to ask me to do anything you want to do, and I know that's what you want me to do. You remember when he told Abraham to get out of that country and go to a country that he would show him? You see, Abraham realized he should do that. Now, Abraham did not follow always what he was supposed to follow, but he realized that God had a right to call him out of that country and to go where he wanted him to go. I think it's kind of like Leona Singleton said. It's a marvelous thing. Here she was, just saved, just baptized. And Forrest Alley said, Leona, said, now you're saved now, you're baptized, and said, now you just need to grow in the Lord. And she immediately did, without any hesitation, said, well, what can I do? What can I do? That's the kind of faith that says, you know, that says to God, you use me. You know, Lord, what can I do? I had a man tell me here a while back. He said, you know, I'll go back to church when God tells me to go back to church. Well, it's foolish. It's silly. God's told him that a long time ago right here in the Word of God. See, there's a lot of things that we sit around waiting for God to tell us that we don't have to do that because he's already said it in his Word. He doesn't have to give us a special invitation. Understand? Because you know what? The true kind of faith will cause us to obey God. Because God has a right to tell us what to do. Amen? Always. And even as individually, he has a right individually to tell you personally and to use your life the way he wants to use it. If we'll just mind him. If we'll just listen. Now, his call upon our life should be second to none. In other words, his is first. Whatever God asks, that's first. You know, God does get a blame for a lot of things, though, that he never done. I don't know whether you know about that or not. He gets blamed for a lot of things that he never done. The story goes of this preacher who got up and preached and just rambled and rambled and rambled. And he told this fellow asked him, said, did you get that message from God? And he said, well, I just get up and I just preach and I just open my mouth and whatever comes out, God just gives me. He said, please don't blame that on God anymore. He said, God had nothing to do with that message. And I think you're right. I think a lot of times God gets blamed for a lot of things that he had nothing whatsoever to do with. And I think also he gets blamed for some things that people say, well, I think God wanted me to do this. You got to be careful about that thing. I don't think that God is behind a lot of things that goes on in this world that the Christians blame him for. And the good way to find that out is it according to his word? Is it according to his word? And that's where we get into a real, real trouble. You see, it's better to have faith that obeys than faith that moves mountains. I believe the kind of faith that God wants is just the kind of faith that says, yes, I'll do whatever you said. I believe that obedience is better than sacrifice. I believe the Word of God teaches us that. We many times talk about our sacrifice, but we won't obey God. The thing to do is just obey God. You see, that's the kind of faith that will produce obedience. If you just obey God, know he has the right to tell you and I anything he wants to do with us, anything he wants to do with us. You say sometimes, and I do too, God, it's not what I really want to do. How did I get into this? But if it's God wants us to do it, we are to do it. He called us to do it. Amen? And we're to be obedient. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers that are just stick in there and just keep teaching. They just keep a teaching because it's right to teach. I'm thankful for bus workers that just simply work the bus. Why? Because it's right to work the bus. It's right to do it. It's right to go visiting on Saturday and try to win people to Christ and try to get them to ride the bus and try to go out on Thursdays and win people to Christ and do all those things and be here faithful to church on Sunday and Sunday morning, Wednesday night. It is just right. Why? Because it's just something you're doing because you know it's right. Amen? You know that's right, and that's what God wants you to do. So the Bible tells us in the Scripture here that by faith, Abraham obeyed God. And that's the same way you and I are going to obey God. By simply faith, knowing that God has a call upon our life and that God has said certain things in his word and we are to obey them simply because he said to do it. Sometimes that's difficult, sometimes that's hard, but we are to do it because God said to do it. Secondly is the kind of obedience which faith produces. The kind of obedience that faith produces. First of all, genuine faith in God will produce a prompt faith. Look at a prompt obedience. Look in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. You see, genuine, true faith will produce a prompt obedience. That's when we ought to obey, when God tells us to obey. I believe something. Continued delay in obeying God is sin. I believe when we know God wants us to do something, I believe it is wrong. I believe it's sinful when we do that. I think about children sometimes. When do you want your child to obey? When he is at the edge of the highway, in the middle of the highway, or where? Do you want him to obey that first time when you call him and say, son or daughter, stop, don't go out into that highway? Or do you want him to wait till he gets out into the highway? When do we want obedience? Well, I believe the same way with God's people. I believe we want our children to obey the first time, don't you? I believe that's right, proper kind of obedience that we ought to teach. That doesn't come natural, but I think we ought to teach and train our children to obey first time. God's trying to also get us to obey first time. See, he wants us to have a prompt obedience. Do we stop and ask ourselves, do I want to do that? Do I want to obey God? Do I want to do this which I know God has asked me? Do we stop and question that and say, I know God wants it, but do I want to do that? You see, what we need, the right kind of faith that will produce the right kind of obedience, is a faith that will produce prompt obedience immediately. Not only that, the obedience should be exact. Now, Abraham done some wrong things there. Abraham did not do exactly what God wanted him to do. He was told of God to go out of his land, and he went over to Haran, took his father with him, should not have done that, took Lot with him, should not have done that because he said to get away from his family. He stopped in Haran. It was there at Haran that his father finally died. So he did not do exactly at that point what God wanted him to do, and God had to deal with him, and finally his father died, and many other truths are there. I've told you before, if you follow that thing through, you find out that God never really blessed Abraham until him and Lot separated. If you read the scriptures, you'll find that I'm not saying he was not blessed of God, but not like God wanted to bless him until after Lot and him separated. Why was that? Because he was disobedient, taking Lot with him. And so I'm saying we ought to have an exact obedience. Do exactly what God says, not halfway, not doing what we think, but exactly what God says to do. Not devise something that we've come up with. Or maybe, God, I've got a better plan. I'll do it this way, but I'll do half of it. I'll go here, go over to Haran, I'll wait here. That's not the way God wants. God wants an exact obedience of what he's told us to do. You see, the Lord wants our heart, folks. And when he's got our heart, we'll obey. When he's got your heart, we'll obey him, you see. If he doesn't have our heart, then you can be assured of one thing, there probably won't be obedience either. God is seeking our heart. I believe something. If we really will obey God, I believe there'll be a lot, there won't be no secret sins we're trying to hide and cover up. I believe we'll get rid of those. Don't you? Don't you believe if we give him his heart, somewhere along the line we'll get those out in the open, we'll get those before the Lord, and we'll say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, and let me obey thee completely. Not only that, it's a faith that produces a foreseeing obedience. Look at verse number 10. He says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe something. I believe that there'd be many people who would follow Christ if it paid the right price. I believe that. I believe that there's folk who would say yes to Jesus and do exactly, or at least partially, what God wanted them to do if they were sure that they would get paid for it. I think this is one of the great tragedies that we see in some of our young people coming out of our Bible colleges. I know for a fact, I'm saying this, I know, I've talked to some of them, and they're looking for a church that pays full-time salary and a good parsonage and the whole thing, and they don't want anything less. In other words, God, I'll serve you, and I'll do whatever it takes as long as you give me these things. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that should not be the criteria. See, that should not be it. We should step forth and follow God. I've been very thankful. I've thanked the Lord over and over and over that our son Jerry was willing to come forth and start a church and just get in there and just hit it and just work and face all the problems and the troubles and the heartaches and all that. Because you know what? He's going to be a better man for it. He'll be a better man of God for it down the road. And I could even say that for individuals. Do you know you'll have a better marriage when you just get in there and just hit it and just work together and have the hard times and the difficult times? Talking to a man today, and he was telling me that when him and his wife first got married, he said they just didn't have anything. I mean, he said they had to get water out of the well, and they didn't have any bathroom inside, and didn't have all these things, you know, these modern conveniences. Said one time they went to the state fair, and they had to sell some eggs just to get into the state fair. Now, when they got into the state fair, they did not have any money to spend, but said they had a great time. And it's over the years, they've built a tremendous marriage. And the reason for that is because them good hard times are good for you. They'll build something in you that nothing else in this world will build. Nothing. And it's good. That's why young people, and it does bother me. It does worry me. I don't want to see you have everything at once. I mean, I can't control that, but I don't want to see you have it all. I want to see you get in there and work for it. I want to see you have some difficult times and hard times and work together and build together and save for those things you need and all of those things, because they'll be good for you. It'll put something in that marriage that nothing else will. And it's the same way in serving God. If you go through some hard times and difficult times, it'll put something in you that nothing else will. See, I believe with all of my heart that when God took me to the East Coast, and I know He did, when He took me to the East Coast, He had some things to teach me that I never could have learned at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I believe that with all of my heart. I learned about faith on the East Coast. I learned about things that I would never have learned, I believe, here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And God taught me and trained me in ways that I needed trained in. And that's good. That's right. Them sometimes was hard times, but it's right and it's proper when God does things, you see. And so we just got to understand that it's not always just if everything is perfect, that's when we serve God. Oh, no, no, no. We do it because God says we're going to do it. You see, we don't stop and count how much it's going to cost us. Oh, no, no, no. It's just a matter of what has God said. Amen. God called you to preach. We have a couple of young men in our church that God has called to preach. God called you to preach. That's all you need to know at this point. Just go forward. God called you to preach. You're going to do it. You're just going to work. You're just going to go. Let God train you. Let Him teach you. And you're going to do it. You see. And that's the way God wants to do it. That's the way the right kind of faith will produce that kind of obedience. You see, Abraham did not know where he was going. He simply just went. He did not know where he was going. He just simply went. He was looking for that city. And he went, why? Because God said for him to go. You see, many times we've got to know where God wants us to go. We've got to know how He's going to do it and when He's going to do it. We've got to know all of those things, you see. And that's not what God wants. God wants a foreseeing obedience that says, no matter what's down the road, I'll go. I may not understand it, but I will go. I'll do what God wants me to do. And you know what? Let me say something to you. When you stand in that kind of faith, you're going to have to a lot of times just stand alone. Other folks are not going to understand that kind of faith. Other people are not going to understand you. They're not going to understand the vision that you have and what God has given you to do. As long as it's according to this word, people's not going to understand that a lot of times. But you just got to do it. You got to do it because it's right to do it, because God has told you to do it. And then not only that, the obedience must be continuous. Look in verse number 10. He says, "And for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I'm going back to verse 9. "For faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." He continued to dwell in tents. He continued to go and to search for that city that God has sent him to search for. It was a continual thing. Let me say again, obedience must be a continual obedience. We just don't need to serve God one day and decide the next day not serve Him. We don't need to obey God on one thing and look at another and say, I'm not going to obey God. We've got to have a continuous obedience for God at all times. Just do what God says to do. You notice also, and we may not be necessary to say this at that time, but the tents represent not a stationary place of dwelling. Abraham was a man who was in tents waiting for God's command. I think that's the way it is with Christians, or should be the way it is with Christians. We may not live in tents, but we ought to always be ready to do what God wants us to do at any time that He wants us to do it. Amen. Don't get a hold of this world's things too much, because we are going to move one of these days. Just don't grab a hold of them too tightly. Don't hold on to them too tightly, because one of these days we're going to move out. Amen? Could be very soon. So you look for that and be faithful to God and be obedient to God. And then thirdly, what kind of life will come from this faith and obedience? What kind of life will you have when you have the kind of faith that produces obedience? What kind of life are you going to have? I believe something. I believe when a man gets saved, I believe he's got a brand new pilot. I believe he's got a brand new leader, one who is going to take over his life and direct him and help him and show him what direction to go. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't believe when we get saved, I don't believe that we ought to have the right or do have the right to do anything we want to do. I believe our life then is dedicated to the Lord. I believe it's what he commands, and what he wants from our life is what makes the difference. And let me say also, if we pass through this life according to world standards as a failure, that does not mean we're a failure. And I always want you to remember that. You know, the world standards has a certain standard of success, but it's way different than God's success. I want you to know that if you get up in the morning and be in the will of God and stay in the will of God all day, and that night lay your head down on the pillow in the will of God, you've been a success that day. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe success is according to the world standards. I believe success is getting into the will of God, staying in the will of God, doing the will of God, and you've been successful, no matter what it is. And so there's a lot of people who pass through this old world not successful according to the world standards, but according to God's standards, I have a feeling they're going to be very, very successful. I want to say again, whatever comes in your life is God's business. All our business is to obey. Whatever it is that God has for us, obey. Tomorrow, what God has for you to do, obey it. Do it. Be open to it. Check in, as I told you, I don't know how many times. I check in of a morning with God, and I simply tell him this. Lord, it's another day. I'm here available. You don't have much to work with, but I'm here, and I'm willing to do whatever you want. That's the way I check in of a morning. That's what I tell him. And you know what? I believe that's what God wants. And I tell him, I'll do my best to obey him. If I understand his will, I'll do my best to obey him that day. Whatever it is he wants me to do, I'll do that. And I believe that's the way a person ought to live. You see, it'll be a life free from the heaviest cares if you will put your faith and trust and obey God Almighty. The reason I'm saying that is this. When you're in the will of God, those heavy cares are gone. Folks, you know where we get most of our problems? I mean, I didn't say the problems would be gone, but you know where we really get most of our problems? You know where it is? You know, we get out of the will of God, and then we got all those burdens. We got all those troubles. We may have some of those troubles and burdens even in the will of God, but my friend, it's a different ballgame. You've got a different sweet spirit about you when you're in the will of God. You're able to carry those troubles and those problems, and the reason is because you're in God's will. And you're able to carry him. His strength will help you. So it'll be a life free from the heaviest of problems and troubles if you'll stay in the will of God. Not only that, this life will bring also the highest honor. You know, Abraham stood in the will of God and worked according to the will of God, and Abraham was honored greatly. Down through the Bible, over and over and over, his name is mentioned, and he's honored. I want to say something to you. If you want to be honored one of these days in heaven, and I'm not talking about the wrong kind of honor. I know all honor belongs to the Lord Jesus. But if you want to stand as a faithful servant of God, just obey God, do what he wants, and in your life, just be faithful to him every single day of your life. Not only that, this kind of life will produce communion with God. Let me ask you something. Do you have a sweet communion with God? Do you just have a sweet communion? Is the sweetness of the communion of God Almighty there in your life? Do you talk to him through the day? And does he speak back to you through his word and through the Spirit of God and commune with you through that day? I want to tell you something, folks. There's nothing in the world greater and sweeter than being in the will of God, knowing on a daily basis that you're his will, and let him speak to you and talk to you and direct you and help you throughout the day. There's nothing in the world like that. And you need that communion. You need that sweet communion with God on a daily basis. And that's what kind of life will come from the right kind of faith and obedience to the Word of God. Just a sweet, precious communion with God Almighty. And not only that, this kind of life will set a pattern for our children and others. I believe something. I believe it's important that a dad and mom set a pattern of a life of faith for their children. I believe it is right and correct for children to be able to look to their mother and dad and see them living a life of faith. see them walking with God and doing what God wants them to do, sometimes maybe stumbling, sometimes not understanding all things, and sometimes having a lot of troubles and problems. But let me say to you, walking with God in faith, being obedient to God, I believe that's the kind of pattern that our children need. And not only that, our church members, our brethren and sisters need to see it out of each and every one of us. They need to see this pattern in our life, walking with God. Whether you realize it or not, folks, this here, a brethren, being a brethren in Christ is important business. Whether you know it or not, it is right for you to walk with God so your brethren will be encouraged in the Lord. It is right. That's why Pastor Ross talks a lot about faithfulness. It is right for you to be here on Wednesday night as a blessing and a help and as a pattern for others. It is correct for you to do that, to provoke them to good works. Amen. It is right for you to live a godly life so that you can be a pattern for them. It is right for that. You have, and I have, the responsibility. I certainly have it, but it's not just the preacher that has it. You have a responsibility to walk with God and serve God. Amen? So that others around you will be able to see that pattern and know that you do and be encouraged by it and strengthened by it. See, it is right for us to do that, you see. That's the kind of life that will come from faith and obedience. The kind of faith which produces obedience, the kind of obedience which faith produces, and the kind of life that faith and obedience will produce. Above all, this pastor wants you to do one thing. I want you to be a good, solid Christian. I want you to love God. I want you to walk with Him. I know it's going to make a difference at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I just want you to do that. I want it for you. I want you to love Him and walk with Him on a daily basis. And in your troubled times, your hard times and difficult times, I want you to look to Him and ask for help. Amen? I don't know what's around tomorrow. I don't know what's coming on tomorrow. Monday morning, I got up and got a call about Mrs. Singleton. The Allies lost a loved one real quick, just like that. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. But I know this. I know we have a great God. And if our faith is in Him and we're willing to obey Him, the kind of life that will produce is a life of faith and obedience to God Almighty. Let's pray. Father, thank You again today for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of having faith in You, the true and the living God. Thank You, Father, that through faith, Lord, that we learn to be obedient to Thy Word. And I trust tonight that Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all of us, will just learn to obey You and be what You want us to be. And that our life, Father, will be a special life that You'll be able to use for the glory of God. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.